Baseball. It is the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. All right, let me tell you what's coming up on the program.
A lot.
We got Congressman Kinzinger is going to join us about U.S.-Russian relations.
And also maybe whether or not we'll have a budget.
Yeah, or government shutdown. Are we doing that again? I thought we were done.
It's like over and over again. We do these short-term deals and back at it again.
Classic government shutdown.
It's like when you're having a family fight. It's like, are we going to do this again?
Didn't we just do this?
Are we doing this again?
I'm so over this.
Leslie Goranson is going to be with us.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
From Roseanne. She played Becky in Roseanne.
Oh, yeah, I love her.
Yes.
Ah, great.
Who's that? She's going to be in studio with us, so you might want to go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's...
Now I would say, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just is she the first Becky or the second one?
Wait, there were two?
There were two. She's the first Becky.
Oh, the first Becky.
Right.
She lived in Rogers Park or Evanston.
She's from Evanston, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How cool and, is
go Cats.
She's a big Chicago sports fan, and she's an absolutely lovely, lovely human being, and so she's going to be with us.
I used to see her at the Dominic's in Rogers Park.
How about that?
Oh, so yeah. She really did live there.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
from there. Great. She grew up yep. there.
Oh, so she's an RP-er like me. Okay.
She's she's an Evanstonian.
Oh, she just went to the Jewels over at
yeah. the Dominic's.
The Dominic's.
Over there on Pratt.
Yeah, right by where I lived. Yeah, my mm-hmm. sister
yeah.
worked
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I was really surprised to see her there one time, but I ogled over her.
Okay, well, you can bring that up when she's here and then watch her scream and
I'm
run
sure,
out of the
you
studio.
Know, I think she'll remember.
Yeah.
I bet she would.
Because
yeah.
I'm pretty sure we were both in the liquor aisle.
Oh.
Hey!
And I may have been pregnant.
Hey. I'm buying for my husband.
I swear I remember perfectly. I was looking for a beer for a bread I was making. Which I thought would be okay.
And you're pregnant. That's great.
Yeah. Don't worry,
yeah.
Judy.
No,
it's
this
fine.
Is all fine.
It's fine. DCFS on line 3 for you right now.
Oh, please.
Yes.
We've had many calls to them already.
Statute of limitations you think runs out, but they turned out...
Still care.
As Mike Monaco sometimes has to call me and tell me, the statute of limitations on that did not run out. I was wrong about that.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you join my kids in calling DCFS, okay?
Yeah.
Right. I always love that threat.
Kids.
Yeah. Oh, can I call? Well...
I always say, go ahead and call. Good luck in your foster home.
Yeah, and good luck to DCFS when they get there, when they get a piece of my mind. Hey, all right, so that's coming up. Mike Flannery and Rick Pearson are going to be joining us here in just a few minutes to talk about last night's results. So as I said, let's see, Goranson's going to be with us,
mm-hmm.
who's just, you know, dead.
Amazing.
Amazing. And the new Roseanne show, Roseanne is a self-described, this is, I think, you know, very... interesting, deplorable.
Oh, she's, yeah.
She's a self-described deplorable, and her character on the show is going to be a self-described deplorable who just doesn't understand what's going on in the world, and she's a Trump fan, and she's mm-hmm. got this.
But in real life, she is too. Isn't that what she's saying?
I think so.
We'll have to ask her about that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Unless she's going to be on that. So anyway. So
can she be the Trump era's Archie Bunker, the female Archie Bunker kind of thing? Is she going to be that person?
And it's Lacey. I keep saying Lacey. It's Lacey.
Well, maybe that's why I didn't remember. Lacey. Okay, Lacey.
That's why
I remember.
That's what
I still
did
don't
it.
Remember, actually.
That's what did it.
I know who she is.
And then Bruce Rauner is going to be here at 5:40. Mm-hmm. He's going to make his pitch for, if he makes a good enough pitch, you won't have to spend $60 million.
I think he'll
still
have
I'm going to tell him that. And
is the election over?
I can. Right. And I
can't. It was the primary.
Don't try to explain to her.
All right.
And I cannot tell you how excited I am about this.
Mm-hmm.
We at the Lincoln Park Zoo mm-hmm. have got a polar bear love match.
Oh, great.
Did you see this story the Tribune wrote? It's great. They had to bring, the curator is going to be with us to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had that tragedy last fall where they lost their female.
I know.
They were trying to get her
sad.
Knocked up, and she became ill, and they're a little unclear why and how, and they lost her. And the male was despondent because the male was like a young, kind of just entering like his maturity stage, and it was like a little older woman, a little sort of May December kind of thing going on. And
mm-hmm.
she dies, and it was, and he's left there, and it's kind of like Harold and Maude. And then the
so
next
sad.
Thing you know, they bring him this girl from another zoo.
It's like
Boston.
It's just lunch.
Yeah.
They set
just
the
like
date
your
up
thing.
For you. It's easy peasy.
Right.
And it always works.
And they are, they're snout cuddling.
Oh, so they're into each other.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Courtship.
I wonder what would happen if they brought another girl.
Whoa, we don't want to see what happens.
Oh, by the way, I do know the answer to that.
Oh, God. Please.
All
stop.
Right.
Please stop.
Here is Judy Pilak with the WGN news update at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up?
Let's have a government that's worthy of the young people here in Chicago who are fighting against gun violence with little fanfare or recognition by banning from Illinois the weapons of war like bump stocks and high-capacity magazines. Let's also remember that a conversation about economic justice cannot happen without a conversation about criminal justice reform. And we can begin by immediately removing at least one area of racial injustice in our criminal justice system. Let's legalize, tax, and regulate marijuana.
Yay.
Bro.
Dude.
Yeah. Well, that got the crowd going.
Yeah. We're high.
Gnarly.
All right. Mike Flannery is here from Fox 32. He's the city's political editor.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't get any better than that.
It really is.
On the television. And he invited me over to sit with him for a couple hours last night on the set and talk about all this stuff. And
you guys had a little bromance going.
I think we do.
Yeah. Something going on there.
Three decades. Three decades. I used to go run into his office and hide when I worked at Channel 2 to run away from Walter, who was yelling at me. Anyways,
things never change.
So the point here is this, that we have, you know, what was predicted to be the outcome. But I'm kind of surprised at how almost it wasn't the outcome. It was at least on the Republican side, because, you know, nobody heard of Jeannie Ives before 5 weeks ago, six weeks ago.
Governor Rauner was really sweating. He seemed to be late into the night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that if I had a nickel for everybody who thought that indeed Jeannie Ives had no chance at all to come that close, you know, one of our colleagues in the political biz, in the media political biz, was just telling me flatly, "Oh, you know," I said, "You know what? She's going to win DuPage County."
Huh.
Last night she won all the collars except for Lake. She lost that narrowly. And this gentleman just said, "Oh, what are you on? You know, that marijuana's not legal yet."
It will be soon. Don't you find one of the poll questions or it was a referendum, but it's non-binding that was on the ballot yesterday. Was should we in Cook County should we legalize marijuana? And it was like overwhelming. It's 2/3 yes, 1/3 no. And, you know, the time has come for that, and people want to, you know, it's the gateway drug. Well, alcohol is a gateway drug.
Well, so at his news conference at midday, J.B. Pritzker said that's going to be an issue in the fall because Governor Rauner is reluctant to embrace it. He feels that it's something Illinois should at least wait on. He's been openly negative on it. And Rauner... you know, Rauner's opposition, it looks like, to some degree, Pritzker at some point is going to make it an issue. He says,
well, let me ask you this.
Up to $750 million in tax revenue. He says he also sees it as a racial justice issue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it takes the criminality out of part of it. But I think people still, you know, are going to be, people still want to support their local drug dealer. The issue here with J.B. Pritzker winning, having a lot of money. Now you got Bruce Rauner. Generally, when Republicans in primaries, Republicans in the primary run to the right, they run to the middle during the general. You know, the opposite, of course, is true of Democrats. They run to the left and then to the middle. In this case, can Bruce Rauner get more in the middle? He's been flanked on his right. And he can't run back to the right because he's not going to win because he's going to lessen the amount of people he's going to be able to pull over. I kept bringing this up last night, and you people kept looking at me like I was crazy. But if you look at the total vote numbers that J.B. Pritzker got, total votes, about 600,000 versus about 710,000, whatever it was, for both Rauner and Ives together, that's got to scare the poop out of people in the Republican Party here.
Well, we're going to see not only potentially the most expensive gubernatorial campaign in American history. It's of course going to be the most expensive in Illinois history. I think the record is in California, but with these two are going to shatter the national record. And you saw the governor last night when he came out to speak. He said, you know, this is not about Republicans. This is not about Democrats. This I'm campaigning against this corrupt system. I'm campaigning against these taxes and the insiders. He's trying to do that. Now, you know, having signed the taxpayed the bill allowing taxpayed abortions and the bill that Ives denounces as sanctuary state, although many say that that's not exactly what the bill does, but having signed those into law, you know, the governor does have some cred to say, hey, I'm in the middle. I'm not on the far right. I'm just not sure that he's
right.
That he's going to be able to sell that, though. I mean, his job approval rating doesn't look real
terrible right
hot
now.
Right now.
But let me ask you about that, because I think there's a big picture politics question here about moderates. And you're seeing Bruce Rauner saw it with Jeannie Ives on the right, Lipinski in the 3rd District congressional race, definitely saw it with Marie Newman eking by a win by a hair over there from him being a moderate and certainly maybe even more Republican on some of the social issues like
conservative,
abortion.
Actually. Conservative on almost
conservative,
every issue.
Right. But you look at that and you think, are moderates an endangered species as we move forward right now? It seems that they don't get the support and that passion of turnout behind them.
Well, yeah, there's an interesting email that's out there from the No Labels Caucus. That's our
buddy A.B. Stoddard.
Yep. And they're taking credit for Lipinski's narrow win. They're saying they were in the district. They were out in the field. They were working hard.
Well,
trying to back him.
I think... He meets his district where his district lives. I mean, that's the thing. There's some changing down there. That's the southwest side and southwest suburbs. It's a conservative district. There's a lot in the city side of that. There are a lot of cops and firefighters,
it
right?
There's Alderman Burke's ward and Madigan's ward and those types of political
in some of that down the southwest side. And then comes all the way up into Bridgeport. And then it goes through Beverly and Mount Greenwood where Michael resides. And, you know, and then out into, you know, Crestwood and, you know, sort of straight out southwest. And so those are conservative folks, but they're also city workers. They're union members or people who have been voting Democrat for three generations. And that's what it is. And they find a conservative Democrat.
I saw somebody from New York or Washington who was pulling for Newman put up on Twitter overnight or early this morning. Oh, this district was gerrymandered. They wrote it so that it was in heavily Catholic neighborhoods.
Well,
what?
They were all gerrymandered.
If you draw a map of South Cook County, remember now every African American precinct has to go into the African American districts,
right.
to try to under the Supreme Court mandates. And can you draw a non-black congressional district in South Cook County without heavily Catholic neighborhoods being the main area?
Right.
It's crazy.
It's the last vestige of where are you from in Chicago, which parish, mm-hmm. right? It is what it is. And it is, but I want to tell a little bit of a story. I was at an event where Lipinski arrived at this event. And
I mean, I guess just to close the circle, I mean, look, he got 51%. I think that pretty accurately reflects the feeling of the neighborhood.
Yeah, I think without question. And this is not a big surprise, but you know, this was an event that had a lot of cops and firefighters, city workers, and you know, this guy walks up to him and goes, "Listen, you're the only Democrat I'd ever consider voting for." You know, so there's that, and they're not going to vote for a Republican because on the Republican side, they have a guy running in that. This is a congressional district, U.S. congressional district, right?
Right.
That didn't have a Republican really running in it. It had a Nazi. Literally, the guy calls himself a Nazi who's running as a Republican in this district, and he's going to be in the general election against Lipinski.
How embarrassing.
And he's not one of those Charlottesville neo-Nazis. He's a paleo-Nazi. No.
Yes.
Holocaust denier,
right.
whole thing.
He was marching around in the 70s.
He's got an armband.
Yeah. How did the Republican Party allow this to happen? I mean, my God.
Asleep at the switch. And he waited. It's this numbskull. His name is Arthur Jones.
Been around.
And he's run for all.
He was up in Wisconsin. Didn't he run in Wisconsin?
He ran for a while up there. I think
that was his best shot, by the way, as a Nazi running. Yeah, that was as good as it was going to get.
Yeah,
we import a lot of them from Wisconsin. I don't know. It's a crazy thing. Now we talked about it a little last night. Maybe they'll get an independent that'll run down. Anyway, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds about that. We'll just go back to the governor's thing. You've got you're going to spend probably north of $130 million on this between now and.
Yeah,
let's pray. Let us open our business.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the guys
keep
in,
it coming.
The guys in our sales department have their fingers crossed.
They voted for Pritzker and Rauner.
Right. I mean, there's a.
All right, you take Rauner, I'll take Pritzker.
Yeah, really.
Yeah,
we're split it up.
You know, I just think that they're going to saturate everything. You're going to see this on your Facebook feed. You're going to see this on other social media. You're going to hear it on radio. You're going to get flyers delivered. You know. I was impressed with the degree to which the door knocking took place, both for Lipinski and Newman, and for Pritzker. You know, 4 years ago, I had two guys call on me to vote for Rauner. Now that was in the November election. That didn't happen this time for Rauner, but it's going to be Katie bar the door. It's just going to shatter every spending record.
Does it bother you at all, Mike Flannery, that we're spending these kinds of numbers and it costs that much to take a seat?
I want to end to this conversation right now.
Why?
First of all, because it's good for the economy when these guys spend this kind of money. If they want to spend it, let them spend it.
But isn't it a barrier to entry that many people can't cross?
Here's
the thing. Who could possibly get together $70 million?
I told J.B. Pritzker, I did an interview with Pritzker this morning, and I said to him, I said, you know, I taught my kids that anybody can become governor or president. I failed, though. I was obviously wrong. Anybody can become governor or president as long as they become a billionaire first.
First of all, stop. Stop, 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 stop. That's not true. Barack Obama became president of the United States. He, at times, didn't have two nickels to rub together. If Daniel Biss had won last night, who had a much better showing than I thought he was going to have, if he had won last night, $70 million would arrive on his doorstep before it was all said and done between super PACs, national groups, do-gooders around the country who think he's got the right message, and
so
just
let me
Democrats.
Understand this. Are you accusing me of speaking hyperbolically?
No, I am not. I am saying to you.
Guilty as charged.
That I'm saying this idea that I'm offended by all this money in politics, this is not about money in politics. This is the cost of winning now and getting your message out if you're going to be competitive.
Well, $70 million, though, rises quite a bit above where it was before.
So Biss and Obama. Obama was the first to raise $1 billion, mostly or a huge percentage of it, from small donors. And Biss was mining that same shaft.
All right. I get it. We have to run here. I just want to say, you know how expensive it is to get Russia to go with you on these things? All right. We are going to have Judy Pilex News coming your way in 2 minutes. Mike Flannery, thank you very much. Fired up, by the way. Fired up.
Friday night, 9:30, Kwame Raoul, Attorney General nominee.
Attorney General.
A couple of weeks ago, we had Erica Harold in, who's the Republican nominee. We're going to talk to State Senator Raoul. And actually, I think, speaking of the bromance, don't tell Anna,
I think we're gonna go on a date.
Going out again?
I think you're joining me.
Yeah, I think I'll be on Fired Up on Friday night.
I like the combo.
Yeah, there you go. All right, now stay right here. Don't anybody move. Judy's News and with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
All right, here he is. It's after the election, so we can talk to him again.
Yay.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger, the official congressman of the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis and non-paid position. This is... all right, we're going to have Bruce Rauner on coming up in just a few minutes, or actually about an hour. And I want to... I want to get your sense after the amount of money that was spent here between these two guys, and neither of them, you know, blew away the crowd here. And when you look at the, you know, the total vote numbers here, total votes, it looks like, you know, a lot of people think it's going to be a Democratic year in a lot of places. How does Bruce Rauner, in your estimation, your humble estimation here, or how do Republicans position themselves in a state as diverse as Illinois to try to win statewide in this year that seems to be such a blue-leaning year?
Well, it's tough. I mean, you know, when you see a primary and you see it on the Democratic side, especially in this race, it was a race to the left. In the Republican primary, it's, you know, in some cases a fight to the right because the voters are the most hardcore. But I think the best thing that Bruce Rauner can do is talk about his record. And he's, I think he can use a lot of help in terms of getting that message out. You know, the reality is he vetoed the tax increase, but the tax increase was overridden against his veto. And, you know, he says, look, all you, when you raise taxes, all you're doing is chasing people out of Illinois. I think talking about the fact that nationally you're seeing the economy come back, but Illinois seems to be somewhat immune from that, and part of that is Springfield. And I think kind of continue with the message of shake up Springfield. You know, one of the things that Jeannie Ives did against him that I think was a little disingenuous was basically say that he's responsible for the tax increase and everything else, when in reality he did everything he could to fight it. So I think it's bringing Republicans back home. Republicans, you know, kind of, okay, fine, you didn't support Bruce Rauner, but he's the candidate now, let's all move forward. So it's reuniting the base. And then I think talking about what you've been able to stop and also what your goal is over the next 4 years. But there's no doubt we Republicans in general, because we have unified control nationally, we're going to be facing some headwinds for sure.
What do you make then of the Congressman Lipinski race in the 3rd Congressional District, just barely fighting off you know, a more progressive rival there? It seems as if that one was being looked at nationally to see if there was anything people could glean in terms of the way things are moving. What do you see there?
Yeah, so the question is, you know, is there room for a pro-life Democrat in the Democratic Party? And, you know, I guess there is now, but that was a close race. And I think, you know, if you're a pro-life Democrat and the life issue is one of your top issues, you start wondering, is this really the party for me? And so, you know, to see that, I can tell you it was what I predicted a few years ago, which is, you know, Democrats were gleeful when Republicans, we had this kind of Tea Party insurgency in 2012, where it was like a lot of civil war within the Republican Party. That's where they're at right now. They're in this battle, you know, when you lose control of government, which they did, which is what we did, you know, back in 2010, 2012. Now it's a battle where you have people in your party that say, well, the reason we lost is because we're not liberal enough. In our case, it was people saying we're not conservative enough. And so the Democrats really, you know, they have an opportunity to make some gains, and they also have an opportunity to really blow it here by putting people that are way out of the mainstream of America. And I frankly think that's kind of the way they're tracking right now.
Well, and also, you know, it's funny because this came down to this idea of, you know, Catholics on the southwest side of Chicago, you know, and is there a place for Catholic Democrats, you know? And if Democrats play themselves into a corner here, and you know, not every Catholic is, you know, personally going to vote a single issue voter when it comes to abortion, but you know, it is there are doctrinally a lot of doctrinal Catholics are very, very, very opposed to the notion, right? And so it is it almost forces their hand in a way, and that becomes a that's a wedge within the wedge that I think as we start to look at these things, and obviously we're doing it here with you know, the Cambridge Analytica situation and Facebook and all the rest of it. If you're trying to wedge people and trying to get into their Facebook account and get them all amped up about something, it's certainly effective. You know, Dan Lipinski, here's the one thing about Dan Lipinski. I mean, we had both of them on. Dan Lipinski is, you know, he's not really a, for a guy who was in public office, he's not a really public guy. He's not, you know, he doesn't go seek the camera. No. He doesn't. He's a guy that goes down, goes back to his district office, sits in there, and waits for people to come in with problems. You know, and he's known as a problem solver. That you need something done. I've talked to a lot of people down there in his district, and they're like, of late, a lot of people are like, yeah, I don't know much about the guy, but I know that if we need something, you know, he's responsive to us. And, you know, because you got a lot of veterans down there, and veterans get screwed up in the VA, and they will, you know, Congressman, this happens in your office all the time. My dad happens to live in your district now, and, you know, he's an elderly veteran, and, you know, these guys call on you.
They do.
For, you know, for circumstances like that. He hasn't, but you know, his buddies have. And that's a tough, you know, that's a place, that's a tough part of life, and these people want to feel like they got somebody who's got some juice in Washington, and I think that's the core that brought back Lipinski. But I'll tell you this, the biggest total shocker of the night is the issue of the Cook County assessor, because that guy Joe Berrios, been in county politics, Democratic politics, you know, in this area, almost my entire adult life, and probably more than my adult life. I'm almost my whole life. He is He is the chairman of the Cook County Democratic Party, and he loses. And doesn't just lose. He gets slaughtered.
Yeah. His butt handed to him.
Yeah. And so you start to wonder about whether these things are falling apart. I want to ask you about Cambridge Analytica here, too, because this is an important thing. We can talk about them specifically or just the general, more general issue here of this Facebook mining, data mining, the kinds of things when a politician goes up on television with a crazy ad, you go, oh, I get it. It's a political ad. We've gotten used to it now.
Mm-hmm.
We still can fall for it, but we've gotten used to knowing what it is. It's not they're coming to us and claiming something.
Yeah.
With Facebook and the way that Cambridge Analytica did this and the way that they were shaving things and dropping stuff into the environment by using activists. And so it's coming not from a television station, but from a friend of a friend sent you something. Hey, my buddy just sent me this. Look at this.
Right.
It must be true. It's a whole new way of spreading dirty tricks.
Yeah.
Should he go before Congress, do you think? Because that's what's happening here. He just issued a statement as that threat was nearing. Zuckerberg did, I should say.
Yeah, I think this is a big issue that we in Congress, we've been trying to grapple with this for a while, which is the issue of privacy. You know, what is the role of privacy when it comes to new media? I mean, you know, 99% of us, when you click on agree, you know, for the terms and conditions, you don't read the fact that it says basically they can mine data and use it for advertising purposes. You know, if you search for a Ford Fusion on Google, then all of a sudden, now on Facebook and everywhere on Google, Ford Fusion ads pop up.
Yeah, but even after you delete your accounts, these ads were still following you. If you didn't opt in, you're just being a friend of someone who did became reason for your data and psychographics to be mined. It's not exactly like you're agreeing to this. It seems people are caught off guard by this.
Yeah, and this is why I think like it's such a big and new area that we've got to. I think we should have hearings. We have had them in the past, but now that this is kind of really on the front, have hearings and kind of figure out what is the role. You know, if you are using a free service like Facebook, which doesn't cost anything, obviously Facebook has to make money or Twitter has to make money or whatever. You know, what is that role? I don't have the answers to that. I think that's in essence a community conversation that the country needs to determine. But yeah, I mean, and this is the issue we had with the Russians with the idea of fake news, actual real fake news, is people would log on and, you know, it would say Hillary, one of them was, you know, Hillary steals billions from the State Department. And people, I still talk to people, I ask them, hey, did you hear that Hillary stole billions of dollars from the State Department? And occasionally a lot of people say, yeah, I heard that. Well, it wasn't true. It was a fake Russian story.
Mm-hmm.
And they do the same thing about politicians all over.
Right.
There's got to be a point where truth matters on this stuff, because otherwise, if you log on, even if you don't read the story, you see the headlines, even if you don't consciously realize you saw the headline, that makes an impact to you. And I think, you know, truth has to matter here, because otherwise, you know, without truth, without kind of like a set of shared principles that we have as left and right as Americans, you know, the whole experiment falls apart.
Congressman, I can't let you go without just sharing this breaking news right now. ABC News is reporting that Andrew McCabe was investigating Jeff Sessions.
And then Jeff Sessions let him go?
On perjury issues.
Interesting.
Before he was let go.
Yeah, I saw the headline on that. I didn't read the story, so I don't know enough. But
yeah, I know. Hey, are you in D.C. right now?
I am. Yeah.
Run!
Before the government shuts down.
Yeah.
Because that's coming too. Maybe
Snowmageddon, the government shutting down. No, I think we'll make it through. We'll get this omnibus done. But yeah, it's always fun. It's always a crisis.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, congratulations on your.
Thank you.
Were you even opposed last night? I can't remember.
I was, yeah.
You are, yes.
Okay. It was pretty much a landslide.
Hey, what are the Republicans? Very quickly, I know. I'm sorry but I wanted to get you on this. What you know, against Lipinski now in the 3rd congressional district, the Republican who's running is an avowed Nazi.
Yeah.
Don't the Republicans have to put somebody in there? Don't they have to do something here? Maybe run a Republican who's an independent there.
Well, that would be good. We can't put anybody else in there because this is the only guy that filed. There is no party mechanism to remove somebody that filed legally, and he did. And so, you know, we've disavowed him. And I mean, anybody that tries to say he's representative of the Republican Party, that's ridiculous, because, you know, you could have anybody file as a Republican or a Democrat as long as they get petition signatures. But there is no doubt that we absolutely disavow this guy.
Okay. Wow. What a crazy thing.
It is.
That's not gonna,
yeah,
it's unfortunate.
It's not going to go
sad.
Well. When Jake Tapper's walking around with the guy, that this is
and
not going to
this
go
is
well.
The Republican running yeah, in the third
exactly.
district.
Well, he does not
he's your guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Congressman. Appreciate it. As always, there he goes.
Adam thanks,
Kinzinger,
Congressman.
Right now, Judy Pilak, what's coming up at the top of the hour in the WGN newsroom?
Hey, everybody. I have an announcement. I'm having a baby.
A baby what?
There's this really nice woman who wants me to have her baby. I'm going to be her surrogate.
You're pregnant?
No, I have to fill out some forms and answer a bunch of questions first.
Daddy, is that how you have a baby?
Yes. And she's paying me $50,000.
Wow, just for having a baby? Dan, you owe me $200,000.
That's great.
All right. Roseanne is back, and it premieres on ABC on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock right here on ABC 7. Well, not here on ABC 7. They're on ABC 7. Mm-hmm. I think you know
over
what
there.
I mean. Yeah. That's how it really works. All right. Listen, we have Lisa Goranson in the studio with us, who, mm-hmm. of course, played Becky, mm-hmm. The first Becky. And then the second Becky was not Lisa, and now they're back together again. Explain how you're gonna work this whole thing out. I want to talk about how you left the show, which I thought was, at the time, was an amazing story, still is an amazing story, but we'll get to that in a second. Both Beckys are on this show. How is that working?
Well, there's only one Becky.
Okay.
Who's on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
you.
Me.
Okay.
And Sarah Chalk is coming back as another character.
Oh,
and we have scenes together, which I think will be a little titillating, as well as enjoyable for all the fans.
How do you do that?
Tease right
and the there. Writers wrote it in such a clever way. I'm really excited for people to see it because it's really fun. And I don't know. You'll have to watch.
Any returning writers for the reboot?
Yeah. You know, I left, I guess, after 5 years.
Back.
The cast is all coming back. I left after 5 years. And the writers that are returning, I think were writers after my time pretty much. Except for Sid Youngers, who's one of the writers, and Norm MacDonald, who's a lovely fellow.
We know that name.
He is.
I know. I once got Norm MacDonald to actually...
You got him in trouble?
I got him to pimp Burt Reynolds.
Oh my goodness.
It was a pretty great moment. And,
Jeopardy?
Yeah. And it was, we had Burt Reynolds on the show, and we got Norm MacDonald to call in as Burt Reynolds to try to confuse him.
I got to try that here.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
You know, what's funny about Norm is that we were on set, and I'm a big Chi-Town sports enthusiast.
Yeah.
And he was wearing a Bears hat. And I got really excited. I said, Norm, I didn't know you were a Bears fan. You know, you must be miserable. That's so awesome. And he said, it's just a hat, Lisa. And I was like, no, it's not. He's like,
no.
I don't. I was like, what do you mean you just found it? And he's like, yeah, I just found a hat.
No.
It's like,
no.
Okay. No. I know. Yeah.
See, that's a I got to say that that's a California problem right there.
What do you mean?
That they don't really understand sports affiliation in California.
They just don't.
They don't know what it's like, except maybe the USC, UCLA folks do a little bit. Other than that, forget about it. They, you know, like the Rams move back to town.
Totally.
They're like, who are they?
Oh, it's like crickets at that stadium.
Right. Well, that
crickets.
It's and then the Chargers and all that. It's like, this is a town that doesn't care about these things. I mean, the Dodgers a little bit. But
yeah, a little
but
bit.
But you know who the Dodgers fans are in California?
The people who live around the stadium.
They are the people from New York and the kids and grandkids from the people from New York who remember them as the Brooklyn Dodgers. It just, and you know what? And I just don't like that. And you're right. When you see that C anywhere outside of Chicago, a Cubs C or a Bears C,
I was
or
so
it is,
far away from here. I was so far away. And I just wanted that little glimmer of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't give it to me.
Yeah, no. Oh, that
well,
is he. No.
Ashton Kutcher looks pretty good in the C. I think he's a real fan.
And he's from Iowa.
That's a good point. Excellent
you know
point.
He's not even a real Chicagoan.
But you know what? Still mad props. Mad props.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he doesn't understand what it's like on a gunmetal gray Sunday afternoon in November with sideways snow, sleet, rain, and you're waiting for the liquor store to open up.
No,
nobody knows what that feeling is like unless you're from
below zero.
I agree. He doesn't look like he's suffered enough.
Mm-hmm. No. He needs, yeah, right. He wouldn't be accepted as a Chicagoan until he did that.
Right.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about some of the buzz around this show, because it's very exciting stuff.
It is.
Obviously, Roseanne Barr has been one of those figures ever since the first Roseanne premiered. She's polarizing, she's controversial. In a quaint kind of way compared to what we have now, right? Now polarizing and controversial.
Indeed, good
a little
point.
Different.
Good point.
A little different, but now she's going to play this character as she always did, sort of mm-hmm. very close to what her stand-up comedy has been, and she's going to play it as she's calling herself self-described deplorable. Like mm-hmm. a Trump voter supporter, somebody who, you know, the forgotten people, the uh-huh. working class folks, the people who are affected by the opioid crisis and all those sorts of things, mm-hmm. white working class folks. And the original story here took place in an Illinois town that is somewhere.
Elgin.
Right. That was what is it? It was based on. Right.
Right.
So that's exactly the kind of people who are kind of living on just on the over the top of the economy there. What? I mean, have there been conversations about the polarizing nature of the Trump thing and deplorables? And it's, you know, it's primetime network television, right? So they've talked about the risk associated with that, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you know, I hate to burst everybody's bubble, but the show is it's just touches upon that in the first episode and never again. It's not a through line. It's not something that comes up again and again. But how I see it is that, you know, because I've been a part of all 9 episodes, that Roseanne's character, first of all, I hate to break it to everybody, but Lanford is a fictitious place.
In Illinois.
And mm-hmm. Roseanne Conner is a fictitious character. So there's God. That.
Spoiler alert.
But there's there's this whole arc that her character has that I think really, is pretty provocative and interesting in terms of how she begins, which is as a deplorable, quote unquote deplorable, mm-hmm. because arguably, it's not like by the end of the show she voted for Hillary, but there are aspects of her character that you might associate
right.
with a Trump supporter that change over the course of the narrative. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Although there were things like, you know, it was interesting because Roseanne was a progressive, maybe ahead of its time in some ways in terms of the social issues that you guys tackled, because you did talk mm-hmm. about race issues. There were birth control episodes. There were a lot of things that you were tackling, I think, that, you know, fall into the area of where everybody is sort of dealing with these kinds of issues. And they certainly aren't conservative approaches to them the way Roseanne talked about them in those episodes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it. I think if you watch the old show, it's totally legitimate that you would say, wait, she voted for Trump. I mean, she was such an advocate of so many things that Trump doesn't seem to be an advocate for mm-hmm. In the old show. But I think, you know, to show division in a family.
Right.
And, you know, one thing about Roseanne is that the working class is really her cause. You know, she really believes in the working class and blue collar America. And I think it's kind of her way of having their back a little bit, even though that's not so necessarily who voted for Trump.
Right.
Necessarily.
Right. And that's the thing.
But part of it. You know what I mean?
And that the problem is we live in a society now where you're forced to make a choice of a tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
the tribes, and not every tribe fits everyone.
No,
people can be
true.
Members of different tribes at different times, depending on where they are in their life and depending on the issue, depending on whatever it is. It's sort of, I mean, I kind of look at it like this. I've always been a fan of what you guys did on the original show and of hers. I mean, mm-hmm. When you become a superstar overnight, essentially, which is what happened, you know, in that show became so huge so fast
right.
that, you know, the tabloid world and everything, it kind of descends on you and everybody looks to pick you apart. And before social media was able to do that.
And you're a woman.
Right. I think that had a lot to do with it.
And you're not a skinny, you know, glamorous woman necessarily, and you have a loud voice.
Right. That it became, so she became a target very, very quickly.
True.
And what I think is interesting now is it's now there's so many targets in this environment that she gets to pop up and say, you know, I'm the OT, I'm the original target.
Yeah.
And I get to come out here and present this to you. And I think it's the same way. I always kind of think that she is sort of a, like what Mike Rowe is, you know, the guy that mm-hmm. was like the tool
dirty
guy,
jobs.
Dirty Jobs guy, who's who represents, it isn't always about the politics. It's about entertaining around the notion of these people who get dirty for a living.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that was one of the things I think about her that was particularly great.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I don't like it to end with Trump supporter. You know what I mean? I feel like sometimes, like, the buck stops there for people.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't continue. And there is, I mean, one thing that you have to say about our show, well, you don't have to, but it's nuanced. You know, it's
always
very
was.
Nuanced.
Uh-huh.
The characters are so multifaceted that it's just a disservice to kind of, like, you know, keep retweeting about the Make America Great Again hat that happens to hang in the Connor household, and people caught that on a little blip, and now everyone's going crazy. But it's like, is that really, you know, as Peggy Lee would say, is that all there is? Is that all there is?
That is true. I appreciate that, because we're caught in this moment. And it's a bad moment where you know, it becomes fighting words very fast in America.
Yeah, it's so heated. And when you, I mean, I think a lot of people are realizing that if you read, you know, any article that's out right now, today, it's about finding communication in this chaotic social media world, that there's something that's not, it's not serving us completely to just have, you know, however many characters and little sound bites. You know, we got to go past that and start having some real conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Are we allowed
True
to get
that.
Along?
Like,
are we allowed
doing...
to get along? And will Roseanne? Well,
and we're helping.
Bring us together.
What great irony it will be that Roseanne is the one that brought the nation back together.
Ambassador
what a great
Roseanne.
Thing that would be.
That's right. Hooray.
Yay.
My job is done here.
All right. So Roseanne premieres Tuesday night, 7 o'clock on ABC7. And it's a 9-episode run to start here.
Correct.
We'll just have to see what happens. Because the cast, this is the most amazing
They're
thing.
They're so good.
I mean, the fact that they got two Beckys mm-hmm. together in a room, and there's going to be titillation.
One.
I don't even know.
One Becky.
Yeah, okay.
One
I got
Becky. Another other character.
Second Becky playing something else.
Don't be so sensitive. Anyway, the point is that you've got all the other characters, all the other actors are coming back for this. Mm-hmm. And these are actors who are, many of whom are in very, very, very great demand, right? I mean, this is an all-star cast now. Because
mm-hmm.
the people who came off of that show all went on, which is an interesting thing, you know, went on to really good stuff. And it was and not only because it's a great launching pad, there was great writing, it was a very successful enterprise, but also because I think that the producers of that show were very intent upon putting together people who could work well together and very talented members of a cast. I mean, to get John Goodman. I mean, look at John Goodman.
I know.
Love him.
Just look at him. He looks great.
And but his whole thing is like, you can see
the
him
love in is real.
Four movies, and you would not, if you didn't realize it was John Goodman, you're from another planet, you'd go, who are those four guys? He's such a great actor.
But you know, that's a really good point, because it's not just the producers and whatever, it's the will of these individual actors to do quality projects, you know, to do some theater, to do an interesting role. That's the way we've always been. And you know, none of us really, I mean, it's funny, we're like, oh no, we're famous again. You know, that's what we grumble behind the scenes. We're like, oh no, we're going to be exposed. It was so fun kind of being in hiding for a while.
Right.
But, you know, that being said, Laurie Metcalf doesn't want to be a celebrity. John Goodman doesn't want to be a celebrity. None of us want to be that. You
right.
know, we want to be working actors, and we want to do great work. It's that simple, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But well, TMZ jumps out at you all of a sudden, and it's like, whoa.
And we want to embrace the TMZ guy. that jumps out at us.
Yes,
you do.
You got to.
You do. Is that what you want to do?
I really do.
Yeah.
I want to give him a strong embrace.
If I were in that circumstance, I would hire a 9-foot, 800-pound guy to be with me at all times, you know, in a black suit that doesn't quite fit right.
With one of those earpieces
sort
of, in?
Yeah, and just sort of aim him toward the TMZ group.
Talk to him.
Yeah.
I used to have fantasies as a kid when the paparazzis were following me that I would, you know, and I find out this is other actors' fantasies to have my own team to follow them, you know, to go to
Clooney
the school.
Clooney talked about that.
Yeah, but it's like you can't help yourself because you feel, first of all, you're like, do these people have a life? Do they have families and children? You know, it's a job. Well, what a strange job is. You know, driving people crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that weren't they going to do that with Harvey? What's his face at TMZ? They were going to
Levin.
Yeah, weren't they people going to like start following him? You know,
I can see where it gets really old because they're just trying to get a reaction from you, so they do strange things, right? To get
well,
the camera.
Well, it promotes a culture that's just so petty, and you know, I mean, I was doing karaoke in Brooklyn, and. And the next day it was on TMZ. My friend was just had the TV on in the background and said, you know that karaoke you were doing last night? It's on TMZ. And I thought, what? I mean, they're really slow news days.
But isn't it amazing, though? I mean, think about this. That now, because of YouTube and other, you know, Snapchat and all the rest of it, so whatever the kids are on these days, that now people want to do that?
They
do outrageous things just to get noticed.
Oh, they do it willingly.
Because they want to be seen that way. But then if they get so big, then it'll be a hassle, right? Because then people are mocking them. I mean, there are people lining up. This is a little bit of the sickness of what's going on here. People are lining up to be disparaged. You know,
I know. And that's how I feel because when I was, you know, a young buck from Chicago, I had no interest in like going to parties, doing the red carpet. I mean, to me, I'd rather be in my, you know, jeans and Cubs t-shirt, like just hanging out by the lake or something, you know. But to see some of these young actresses just completely overnight embrace this whole kind of, you know, maybe vapid is too strong a word. No, it's not vapid.
I don't think so.
Vapid lifestyle and way of approaching their careers. You know, this is the way to do it. And it's just so, it's frustrating to me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, are they an actor?
You should write a manual for those people.
Well, I think a TED Talk.
A TED Talk is a nice thing?
Because I'd like to talk to some of these starlets.
Right.
Yeah.
And explain to them. Let me tell you all something about how to grow up with dignity.
Exactly.
Which is what
Thank
you did.
You.
Lisa Goranson is in Roseanne. She's the one and only Becky, as it turns out.
The original and one and only.
And when the show premieres.
And everyone who's listening is going, thank you.
Tuesday night at 7 o'clock on ABC 7, The Return of Roseanne. And thank you so much. And go Cubs, go.
Yay, go Bears. Cubs.
Go White Sox, as we say here at WGN.
Uh-huh.
Now, Lisa and I were talking about this earlier today. I don't want to talk about it right now, but she's a diehard Cubs fan.
At spring training last week, all week.
Get out.
Yeah. Met Chili Davis.
Chili Davis.
I did.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. Although, you know, see, like Rizzo now, like our traffic reporter you're going to hear from in just a second. She's trying to interrupt his marriage. I mean, that's what's going
on. They're not married yet.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point right there.
But I have to say this. You know who was in the dugout when I was, well, actually in Glendale, when I was watching the Sox play the Cubs? Grandpa. Grandpa.
Don't go there. This is
because I just love me some grandpa. Don't we love
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was his birthday the other day.
What is with him? Is he leaving? Is he coming?
Is he
going?
Leaving his wife?
Grandpa Rossi?
Is what I want.
Yeah, Grandpa Rossi.
Gosh, you guys, what is this with you and Violetta?
Yeah, all
breaking
right.
Breaking up marriages.
All right, hold on.
Yeah.
We got Harrison.
Yep. Just kidding, Mrs. Ross.
Took a bad turn.
I'm not Miss Rizzo.
All right. Roseanne premieres. Back to the plug. Roseanne premieres Tuesday night at 7 o'clock on ABC 7. Lisa, thanks for being here. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lisa.
Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour? Rocanjo with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. Now, this is a little hard to believe, but I'm going to try it anyway. First of all, congratulations to John Fox.
Yes.
Thank you.
He's employed again. Yeah.
He's heading to the worldwide leader in sports. He is. I like this Tribune story by Rich Campbell. Mm-hmm. Seems no matter how many layoffs hit the network, there is a quota of failed NFL coaches that must be met.
Seems that way for sure.
John Fox, his overall record in the NFL,
it's pretty good, isn't it?
It's okay, yeah. I mean, he took his team to the Super Bowl.
There you go. It wasn't our team.
No.
But it was his team.
No.
Two teams.
Right, actually.
Good point.
Was
it Denver?
Carolina, he lost to the Patriots, and then he was in Denver. They went to the Super Bowl. They lost. He got fired, and Broncos won the year after that.
Well, that's because they brought in that, what's his name? You know, that Peyton Manning.
Well, he was still there with Fox for 1 year.
Oh, that's true. The last year, he lost.
They got, they got blown out by the Seahawks.
Right.
One of the worst Super Bowls ever.
Yeah. So, there was that. Right. Yeah. But he came here and he had what could be described as a horrifying record. Horrifying 3 years here.
Atrocious.
Awful.
What does that mean, atrocious?
It's not good, Coach.
That's a big word.
I'm sorry. I'll dumb it down from here on out.
I'm not dumb. I'm smart. Wait, no, that's from a movie. All right, now the funny thing about this is that it's going to be good money, probably as much as he's making as a Bears coach. What was he making as a Bears coach? Five?
Yeah, about 5.5.
Okay, so it'll be less, but it'll be like 3.5 probably, 3 to do that.
Yeah.
It's a good gig.
Depends on how often he's going to be used and all that. But sounds like he's going to be an in-studio analyst.
Yeah, I'm in studio.
I hope they get him some water because that's sometimes a problem for the coach.
You know where Bristol is, Coach Fox?
Who's Bristol? Does he? So he will have to go to Bristol, Connecticut, which is the great bummer of people who, you know, go from, you know, major sports to then having to find a way to fly into Hartford and then get to Bristol every week for whatever their job is going to be.
I think many of them just keep a little rental apartment and they travel back home when they can.
Yeah.
Some do, but some, I mean, like, I think a lot of the people during football season, because they only come in for a couple days a week, I know Coach Ditka used to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
He had he had his own room at the hotel, and he would go in there. Ah!
Oh, hell.
He'd go in, paying me. And then he'd sit in the room and wait for his show, then go out and get all animated, then go back to his room, then go out, get all animated, and then fly back to Naples and play golf.
Well, you know, you hope that a lot of the pressure in his life has been released now, and that sense of humor that you heard from some players that's in there somewhere would come out. And we certainly didn't see it in the media or in press conferences. But that in a relaxed environment, I think he could be pretty good at this.
I mean, he owned a monkey, for God's sake.
He's got to have some.
Seems a little fun.
You know, when you go 0-48, as I did in 3 seasons, or at least it felt like that.
It really did.
Hard to have a sense of humor.
Yeah. Not much to joke about then.
And then at the end, everybody started making fun of my monkey, Gidget. And it was very sad what happened.
Rest in peace, Gidget.
I mean, we had this monkey.
And then you decided to tie him to a tree.
In the middle of summer.
I didn't do it. My brother did it.
Yeah. Mm. That was
likely
very
story, Coach John Fox.
And then what happened to the monkey?
Well, it's too bad about what happened to the monkey. I'm not sure you should have brought that up, Kevin.
All right. You know, enough of this. So we had Gidget.
Actually, I'd like to actually play the reel. I'm sorry to break character here. It's very Saturday Night Live of me to do. But I would like to play the real John Fox version of the monkey story. And then because I want to remind people of how this all happened. This is in his last 2 weeks of being football coach of the Bears. We learned this, unfortunately, at the very end. Because if we had only known this 2 years ago, this would have been part of the act. Now it seems irrelevant because he's no longer the coach. Now I'm going to find out, if Nagy had a python or something. And that's not a funny animal to have.
We should ask him about his pets, Nagy, just to make sure it doesn't get by us.
All right, so here's John Fox sitting down with, you know, like the Bears have their own media thing. You know, all these NFL teams now, their own channel, media channel, the Bears channel. And this is they don't have cheerleaders anymore, so they hire.
They sent a cute girl out to ask some questions.
Right, they send cute girls out to ask questions of the players and the coaches. And here's what happened.
We went down to Florida, and believe it or not, we got a monkey. was a little woolly monkey. Her name was Gidget.
Gidget?
Yes, Gidget.
Gidget the monkey.
Yeah, she was like part of the family.
Wow.
Yeah. She wore Pampers, and she would swing around, and she was like part of the family.
No way.
Swear to God.
Who named her Gidget?
I think my mom.
Okay.
Yeah. Gidget was a popular TV show then.
Okay.
Yeah, this is going back a ways.
I got to explain it to the youngster in there that Gidget was a TV show, because she's like, who would name her Gidget?
What's her name? Gidget.
Yeah. Oh. And I guess you'd have to be of a certain age to realize that that's, it was Sally Field, by the way, it was on a TV show, it was based on movies. But it was, you know, it was a thing.
I mean, at least she had a follow-up question. Someone throws that they had a monkey, pet monkey at you.
That's not my follow-up question. That was not who named her Gidget.
Well,
it's sort of like, where did the monkey live? Why was the monkey with
Why
you?
Why did you have a monkey?
Did the monkey scratch anybody's eyes out?
Didn't you know that monkeys grow up to be adolescent monkeys and juvenile delinquents sometimes? And when they become adults, they're not as cute anymore.
So then, as it goes on, we come to learn that while Coach Fox was, as a youngster, goes off to summer camp, his brother was in charge of the monkey. And his brother tied the monkey to a tree outside because the monkey was, you know, they I don't know, maybe
it's probably mating season.
Yeah, probably for the brother who wanted the house to himself, didn't need the monkey crawling around ruining his action. And the monkey got sunstroke and died.
That's so sad.
And then John Fox got home, and they didn't tell him while he was at camp, because you don't tell him grandma's at camp unless they're going to go to the, you know, you got to bring him back. You just don't tell them that.
Right. Don't spoil the camp.
No, you let them go to camp. When they come back, you tell them all the bad news. So then they never trust to leave again, which is, it only, sears in, great psychological pathology when you do that. But whatever, it is the case. So he comes home and it's like, Dad, where's my monkey? Gidget! Gidget, where are you?
I don't know how to tell you, Johnny.
What?
It's really bad news. How do you tell the kid?
Your brother screwed up, John. That's what happened.
What do you mean he screwed up? Where's Gidget?
Screwed up big time. Your brother's an idiot.
I know that, but where's Gidget?
I love that baby John Fox had this voice, too.
Never had a voice.
Very deep voice for such a young man.
I don't know, really? I don't think it's so deep.
Well, sort of.
Anyway, where's the freaking monkey?
Ask your brother.
Can you imagine how that would not have gone well?
Daddy, where's my monkey? Where is he?
Dude, I left him outside and he fried.
Oh. It's only 95 today and humid as hell. I thought he'd be fine.
Yeah, no water. I'm sure it's great. Oh,
so now, this just tells you about Florida, though. And you're like, well, isn't that weird? But apparently not in Florida.
No.
Because there is a monkey on the loose in Miami, North Miami Beach, actually.
Right now? Really?
Yep.
Is it John Fox, like, releasing all these tied up monkeys?
Maybe John is thinking, maybe Gidget's not dead. Maybe Gidget's still alive.
Gidget would want this. Run free.
North Miami Beach police are combing a neighborhood for a small primate.
after
escaping from a Dania Beach primate lab a few days ago. Oh, Mikey the monkey. Well,
that's not going to be a happy monkey.
That's
sad. Like, half shaved on its head. You know,
lipstick on.
Hairspray.
I hate these stories.
Well, they have to test it on
some. Eating vitamins. Got a whole thing of vitamins with it.
One arm's like super jacked.
Did you guys see Planet of the Apes? Oh my gosh.
They said small primate. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, but
no hair on its keister. Dragging with a wire coming out of the back of it. Like, what is that?
Genetically modified? That thing's probably, like, super smart. It's going to be driving cars around Florida.
Oh, my God.
I love how you just used to allow people to have, pet monkeys, though. I mean, they say you picked it up in a pet store, John Fox's family.
Well, the roadside pet stores in Florida. You drive around and there's a roadside zoo pet store.
It was legal then. It was legal. Now
it kind of still is down there.
We're looking for something a little bit different.
You can buy alligators down there if you want to.
What could go wrong?
There's an industrial area. Of course there is. This is like in every Marvel comic. There's an industrial area where there's a mad scientist, a monkey. It's called King of Diamonds.
Uh-huh.
Which is the company that apparently
is testing on monkeys.
Apparently. Is that right? That can't possibly be right.
Why? Why can't that be right?
Who would? What is a research lab called King of Diamonds? Isn't doesn't that
sounds like a gentleman's
oh,
club?
Oh, no, no, no. That is a gentleman's okay. club. Oh, it's yeah, near. It is. Oh, God. Way to call it out.
Oh,
exactly guy who just came back from Miami visiting his brother.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. King of Diamonds. Like that's it.
No, this one's in Harvey, Illinois.
I've never been there,
maybe
but
there's multiple.
No, there's one.
Oh, one in Miami as well. North.
Well, this is one. There's enough. One down there. There's one. Down.
There certainly is.
The King of Diamonds down there is where the monkey was last seen. Can you imagine the monkey? The monkey. They're probably testing testosterone on him, right?
Oh,
and then the first thing he's doing is, I got to get to the strip club. I got to do. I know I got this wire coming out of my keister, but I got to get to the strip club, and I got half a hair, and I'm wearing lipstick,
blood
and
boiling,
and with one jacked arm. But I am ready to go.
And the girls aren't going to even ask any questions if he's got some money.
That's really true.
It's fine with me. Let him in.
Oh! All right. Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour news?
Was that the monkey or John?
Someone's laugh is a lot like a monkey right now. Oh, my gosh. You guys pull it together.
Rest in peace,
Judy. Judy.
Did you want me to rescue
yes.
you guys? Is that it?
Yeah,
all
well,
right.
Thank you for just standing there while we're drowning.
I was waiting for the laughter to stop.
Rokanjo with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN.
You know, the Amazon folks are allegedly, reportedly visiting Chicago today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor's office will not officially confirm nor deny that. However, the HQ2 campus is the bids are in, and we're among the top cities. And these are the dates that have been leaked that they are here.
Mm-hmm. Just like to say, if we could do a little something about turning the wind out of the west and the south, that would really be helpful right
yeah.
now. That'd be good.
Weather.
Oh, it's like this all the time.
Sure.
Beautiful sunny day. It's just little chillers. Hey, listen. I love Amazon. Don't you love Amazon? I love Amazon.
Like the idea of it coming here for the jobs and the kind of economic boost it would provide mm-hmm. us. I do.
And I think that, you know, I mean, in the tech world, the city of Chicago has been the epicenter of so many different industries mm-hmm. throughout the history of the United States, or at least in the last 150 years of history in the United States. It's been a really important, powerful place, right? In economics,
absolutely.
with the Board of Trade and then the Mercantile Exchange, in the financial world, we've got big banks. We've had, you know, we were the repository of the history of the world here for a long time. Encyclopedia mm-hmm. Britannica, World Book,
right?
And all of those, you know, like the Rand McNally, all of that is from right. Chicago. That
absolutely.
It's a very important place, and it was the transportation and logistics hub of North America, and mm-hmm. should continue to be. And Amazon is the perfect accompaniment for the 21st century to continue that legacy and tradition. I've now made my speech. Thank you. You can just
thank you,
just
Amazon. Did you
turn
hear that?
All the rest of the bids and turn down all the rest of the bids and just come with us.
Come here.
All right.
Thank you.
There you go.
Hope that you're listening.
Mm-hmm. Sears, mail order, right? They were the first big mail order thing.
Well,
Sears.
Right. You think we have the heart of the country in so many ways, and that you add the ad business, manufacturing, the, you know, catalog companies, all of those were
yep.
based here for a reason.
Yep.
Because we get it.
Yep.
We get what the country's about.
You should be here. You should be with us.
You guys are good at schmoozing.
We're trying.
This is crazy.
How's it
schmoozy?
Working? Okay.
Yeah. Let's see what we did. We're flirting with Amazon right now. You look good. Do you lose weight? Well, look at you.
Wow. Jeff
good.
Bezos is a hot man, isn't
oh.
he? Good looking guy.
Yeah. I love that Washington Post.
Very. Just a brilliant guy, too. Well,
it's the top five on the Rokan Show.
I'm telling us we have to move on.
Three, two.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Checking in at
number five.
Alexander Kogan, who is the data scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Who is
missing a vowel in his name?
He is missing a vowel in his name. It's A L E X A L E K S A N D R.
Mm-hmm. Just like Grindr and some other like apps that you see,
yeah.
that they have to miss a name because they can't get the web address right.
Right. So
miss a vowel.
This is a weird deal with him, man.
because that sounds exactly like a Bond villain from Russia, Alexander Kogan. But he's got the British accent. Anyway, he says he's been scapegoated here. This whole Cambridge Analytica, mm-hmm. Facebook thing. He said, hey, I'm just a data scientist. I'm just trying to get things right here, man.
Okay.
It's not my fault.
They initially approached me to do some consulting work for them, mostly on surveys. And then this project was born to collect new data. And so, and they guided us through it. They said, like, I was an academic. I didn't know anything about starting a company. Chris said, like, go start a company. He told me how to do it. He explained, well, here's the terms of service that we need to put into this app. And basically assured all of us that, hey, this is commonplace and best practice.
Did they tell you what they were going to do with their data?
No. I knew it was for political consulting, but beyond that, no idea.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I did not know what was going on. They're the bad guys, not me.
We try to be as transparent and honest as we could. And we told them, everything we showed them was, here's the best understanding of the science at the time.
So just to be clear, as far as you know, were there any illicit activities, anything untoward that transpired between Cambridge Analytica and the Trump campaign concerning the 2016 election?
No, I don't even know if they actually worked for Trump or used the data.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Zuckerberg has some explaining to do, and now Congress would like to speak with him because he hasn't exactly been out front on this and what Facebook's role was in the entire thing. Today, he finally issued a statement saying that Facebook did make mistakes and in the idea that 50 million Facebook users' private information was misused by this political consultancy firm. I think they have to take partial responsibility for that.
And apparently Zuckerberg is going to sit down, he's going to be on Anderson tonight, pardon the expression.
Yeah, no, he is, and I think he should be. I mean, you think about it, people unknowingly, it wasn't like you signed up necessarily for all this. Some of the people did for that political questionnaire or asked politics and other things about your life. But then your friends were subjected to their data being pulled. And even after you deleted you got off Facebook and deleted the app, some of these things followed you. Ads would follow you. Your data was still, it was still owned by other people, outside parties.
Right.
And I think that,
used to market to you without your express written consent.
Yeah,
yes, you signed, yes.
Reasonable people who didn't have a lawyer next to them when they signed up for Facebook might not expect that.
Right. And the other piece of this that I think is important, too, is why is this insidious? Why is this different than any other kind of advertising, political advertising that they do? In a lot of ways, it isn't. And the messaging is the same that they put in their television ads in a lot of cases. But the difference is that you think it's coming from somebody that you know. Mm-hmm. Because what you're doing is it's going through a social network. So if all of a sudden, your brother who lives, in another state and you're together on Facebook or whatever, he goes, hey, my buddy just sent me this. Well, it must be true. Mm-hmm. Because you figure but it's not. It's not his buddy. It's his buddy's buddy's buddy. It's 5 different people, 10 different people, 100 different people away that everybody's going, my buddy sent me. This must be true. And so it's kind of the way that the rumor works, right? It's the way that kind of game gets played. And it's being played in politics. This is not the first time it's being played in politics. But it's being played now on a very interpersonal level because people believe that their relationship with Facebook is a personal relationship with Facebook that has a real emotional response. People get emotional about the things that happen to them and how they interact on Facebook. It's like human contact without human contact. And it's really, that's what makes this different. And that's what needs to be addressed here. And we have to look at that. But it's
troubling.
It's crazy stuff. Again, what really comes down to the issue here is whether or not this was all part of a plan by the Russians. And were the Trump folks with them on that or not? Mm-hmm. We may never be able to get to that, but if it's that's the only reason that this really is germane in the Trump story. But in the larger story, yeah, we do have to have this conversation. If you take Trump and all that out of it,
protections moving forward, I think, is what we'd all like to see.
No question. Checking in at
number 4.
White House official says the administration is stunned by a report in the Post that President Trump ignored aides' advice to, in all caps, do not congratulate Putin, end quote, end caps, on his reelection.
Does that say not, or does it say congratulate Putin? I don't know.
Now this. Now they want to know who the leaker was. Not that they're denying the story, but all right, who said? All right, who told them they did that? We did that. And now Marco Rubio's like, well, we can't have leaks like this.
If you don't like the guy, quit, leave. But don't be duplicitous and don't undermine the presidency. If you're leaking the stuff, it's to hurt him. And if you don't, if you're trying to hurt him, it's because you don't like him or you don't agree with him. Why are you still there? I just think it's damaging to the country. I do not like the fact that he congratulated Putin. But I think longer term, the real problem is you have some duplicitous individual close to the president who's turning around and telling it to the media.
I'll give you an example of why people stay in this administration is because they've signed non-disclosure agreements. And once they leave, they can't say anything about what happened inside. And if they are able to leak the stuff that they are uncomfortable with while they're inside, that's the only way they can get that message out.
Mm-hmm. Could have been on the intelligence side here, too. There are people listening in to these types of conversations, and he's certainly been launched a few barbs in the direction of the intelligence community. Can imagine that they're not necessarily loyal to him.
Well, I think only White House staff would have known that his papers had said, do not congratulate.
Probably true. So it's a limited number of people.
Maybe they should get that Stormy Daniels lie detector chair out, They should strap everybody to it.
Oh, gee.
Like a bondage porn film.
Oh. Just don't show us the picture.
Sarah Sanders, your turn to sit in the chair.
Yeah, it just depends who's sitting in the chair if you want to watch.
Sean Spicer.
True. Oh, God. All right. Melania, get in the chair.
Yeah, they're not going to even ask her any questions. They're just going to wrap her up in it.
All right, here is... What do we got here? We got Judy telling us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour with the news.
And then there's this. Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook. Tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
All right, checking in at
number 3.
In the top 5 at 5, I should add. Fred Savage is having to defend himself against sexual harassment claims.
What?
Fred Savage!
Fred Savage!
The Wonder Years kid!
No, not him.
Yes, from the Fox series The Grinder. He still works a lot. He's like in every TV series. When you turn it on, I think he's in a new Netflix series now. One of his co-stars, YJ Huan, says that Savage insulted her and yelled profanities at her while she was working on the show back in 2015, and she even claims that he struck her.
During a taping of an episode, I was attempting to brush off dandruff off Mr. Savage's jacket. Mr. Savage snapped. He yelled at me, told me not to touch him, and he hit my arm violently 3 times. I could not stop crying. I was in pain, I was humiliated, and I was scared. I immediately reported this incident to my superiors, and rather than taking any action against Mr. Savage, they encouraged me to not report Mr. Savage's conduct because a lot of people would lose their jobs and that I would never work in this industry again. It took everything I had in me to be here today and to speak out. I was inspired by the Me Too movement and the women before me, and I'm here hopefully to encourage other women to come forward and speak their truth.
All right. She's a wardrobe artist, or wardrobe person on the show. She's trying to flick off the dandruff on his shoulder, and he snaps at her, and he slaps her arm away.
He says that.
Is that really Me Too?
I don't think if that's what happened, but that certainly doesn't qualify. That's probably inappropriate and rude, but it doesn't rise to that level if that's all it is. He's saying it's totally without merit. None of it ever happened. Go ahead, investigate it.
Morton Downey Jr. once slapped me in the testicles.
Oh, on purpose?
Yes.
Well, maybe you deserved it.
Nope. Walking by me in a hallway, a young kid walking by. Hi, my pal. And then all of a sudden, whack.
Did you go for the high five and then...
It wasn't quite like that. Yeah. It was like, he's like this, kind of tall, fake-toothed guy, always perpetually tan with greasy hair. And he walks by me. This is my first year in the business.
Oh, weird.
And he just, slaps me right in the groin.
You definitely have a case. You're a Me Too.
Did he catch him clean? Did you get his stomach
ache? Oh, yeah. Oh, he caught him clean. Yeah. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That was bad.
Totally wrong.
Yeah.
Did he maintain eye contact the whole time?
Yeah, sort of. I didn't, but he did.
Did you scream afterwards?
I was down. I went down. Producer down. I never. What did I do?
No, you didn't.
What was I supposed to do? Was I going to go sue? Was I going to go? No.
Well, that was tolerated back then. No, it's not.
Roast but you strong. Can still
show
bring
must it. Go on. No. I didn't. I don't. What am I going to do?
Roast strong.
I crawled into my office and I pulled my talent out. You know, the guy I was working with, mm-hmm. Don. We went and did a job,
that's
even though
what
I couldn't.
Thought.
I couldn't walk. We still did the job.
Start wearing a cup to work.
Right. Oh.
Whatever it takes.
You pulled your talent out.
I pulled my, not my talent, I don't mean it like that.
No.
I pulled the guy I was working with, the host of the show. I was the producer. I pulled the host of the show, that's what I meant when I said talent, and pulled him out and went into the studio and we did our show.
Just making sure.
Even though I was in pain. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to say.
Stomach aches sells.
Oh, through. Man, it's the worst.
That's the worst.
Yeah. And am I complaining about it 30 years later?
Number two.
All right, the list of 25 records entering the Library of Congress National Recording Registry has been announced today. This year, the entries are Run DMC. Interesting, because that's a cover, right? Of an Aerosmith song.
Oh, yeah.
So you got that. Kenny Rogers.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up.
Great song. All right. Love that.
This is one I can't believe wasn't already there, The Temptations.
I guess you say what can
be. Now, how did that not be there already?
That just seems like a gimme.
That should have gone in the first year it was out.
Yeah.
And Tony Bennett.
Oh. I left my heart in San Francisco.
That's right.
Oh, that's beautiful. I just love Tony Bennett.
Oh, God. All right.
What do you mean, God? You don't like Tony Bennett?
I love Tony Bennett. What's wrong with Tony Bennett?
Nothing is wrong
with Tony Bennett. I'm going to tell you something right now. You are one cool cat.
They don't make him like Tony Bennett anymore.
All right, and finally.
Number one.
Aubrey O'Day, mm-hmm. You know, the woman who was linked to Donald Trump Jr.?
Yes.
Apparently has some more music related to him. Now, she was on one of these 2013 interview that has now surfaced, a radio interview she did with the Dominic Natty Show.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And she talked about Donald Trump Sr. She didn't like him on the set of The Apprentice.
Off camera, he cursed a lot more than and he never cursed on camera. But the second the cameras went off, man, he had a potty mouth. He likes to be the, you know, polarizing thought in the room. I don't know. You know, I got so close with Diddy, and I had so much to respect and look up to, and I wanted so badly to be impressive and work hard. I mean, he was our mentor, whereas I didn't have that same feeling with Trump. I absolutely don't agree with most of his opinions, and I think a lot of it is just obnoxious noise. But
okay, yeah, all right. I mean, this is 2013. This is not. She's not breaking any ground here. His voters know that about him. There's nothing unusual about that. People like that about him. All right, now here she is. She not only had one song. She had a second song about Donald Trump Jr. The first one was called DJT. A little on the nose, a little obvious. Mm-hmm. This one was called I Used to Know Him.
You can get addicted to a certain kind of memory.
All right. Goodbye. On the first four notes, I couldn't handle that. No!
Oh, come on. Stop it. Kind of memory.
This is a story that really has no relevance in today's news. It really doesn't.
But maybe they'll show her in the lie detector chair.
It is, right. This is as the Chicago police like to call it, this is mutual combatants right here.
We have no victims here.
A-hole on a-hole crime. No victims. All right. Let us close this up.
The top five at five.
Rocancho with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Bruce Rauner, governor of the state of Illinois, and Republican nominee. I don't know. Do we call you a nominee since you're the governor? I don't know how we do that. But one that you won your primary in a tightly contested race with Jeannie Ives. And I guess the question everybody is asking you here, Governor, is how do you, you know, generally you run to the right in the primary, you run to the center in the general election is sort of the political wisdom, right? But you know, she painted you very much as a centrist, almost, you know, to the left. What do you need to do to unify your party here?
Well, the key is that this election is a choice, and it's choice of a corrupt machine politician in Pritzker versus a new day of reform, and focus on what people want: term limits, lower property taxes, and more good paying jobs in the state. Focus on unity and a message that everybody wants, and we're going to win. We will win in November.
I think, Governor, your moderate stance on some of the social issues cost you the support of true conservatives in this race. I think that's fair to say. But I guess in the general, that would play better to have more of a moderate stance. But you still need to unify your party and get, you know, Republicans behind you to really be engaged and want to come out. And how do you do that?
Well, I'm traveling the state, Anna. Right now I'm in Moline. I was just in Rockford. We were in the northern and western suburbs earlier today. And I'm meeting with leaders and talking. I respect the different points of view. These social issues are divisive and very emotional, and we've got strong passions on both sides. Mm-hmm. I respect the different points of view. I'd like to bridge the differences and find common ground. And the key is to focus on what you are united on. And we can agree 100% and enthusiastically agree that Madigan cannot be allowed to gerrymander districts again after the 2020 census. Nobody wants that. And boy, conservatives sure don't want that. We can all agree that Pritzker has proposed a massive new graduated income tax hike that would be devastating for middle-class families and for business owners. That's a disaster. And all of us can agree, conservatives, moderates, liberals, most everybody can agree on that. And we can all agree that we've got to grow more good-paying jobs with less red tape and regulation. Those are unifying messages. And with that strategy to pursue that, we're going to prevail.
To the issue of taxation here, and I mean, Madigan, we can get to, everybody agrees. I mean, hell, the Democratic chairman of Cook County got beat last night like a redheaded stepchild. And I feel bad for redheaded stepchildren when I say that.
Joe Barry.
That's the beginning of the pieces coming off on the old guard machine here. And I don't think that you're going to have Madigan to kick around again after 2020 or 2022 for sure. The real question here is, you know, what can we do here moving forward as a state? I'm saying for all of us, in order to pay off the obligations that we have. There are pension obligations that, you know, still sit out there that, you know, there's a gigantic bubble coming here for the city in just a very, very short period of time. What can we do? I mean, the problem is that, you know, you kind of got your hand got forced into having to let that, you know, let the taxes rise again here to, you know, to 5%. Where it's hard to unring that. What can we do to create revenue in this state?
Yeah, well, Ro, you're asking the key question. They did pass an income tax hike over my veto last summer. They also passed a $3 billion out of balance budget last summer over my veto. And Ro, to your point, we have had unbalanced budgets for decades under Speaker Madigan. And the simple reason is we've always had our economy growing much slower than our government spending. And as long as that stays in place, we'll never have the revenue, we'll never have balanced budgets to fund our human services, to fund our schools properly. And everything that I'm fighting for, everything we're working for every day is to make our economy more competitive so we can afford to be more compassionate. And that means cutting the red tape on businesses, lowering the tax burden on businesses, and recruiting more companies here, like Amazon, like so many others, to grow the economy faster, and then we'll have balanced budgets.
How do you feel about that economy bid, or the economy bid, that Amazon bid? Are you, obviously, everybody here wants that. Right? That's another thing we can all agree on, right? I mean, there are some people, but those people.
Daniel Biss didn't
want those people are wrong, and Daniel Biss was wrong. But
they're wrong.
Yeah, they're wrong, but
And they're supposedly here right now, Amazon, touring Chicago. I know that hasn't been officially confirmed by the mayor's office, but it seems to be the secret's out.
Are you optimistic about that?
Well, we were meeting on that issue very same day today, earlier at lunch. It's a big team effort, the city and the state working together to recruit Amazon. We need to keep the detail confidential at the request of...
I get it, and I don't want to do anything to screw that up.
No, we don't want to mess this up.
But your sense of this is...
Yeah, we got a great shot. We have, if you look at what they're seeking, great public transit, great university system, great workforce, great central location, world-class airport in O'Hare, high quality of life, reasonable cost of living. We have everything that Amazon's looking for, except fiscal responsibility. And Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, led the fight in Washington State to make sure Washington kept a zero income tax. They don't have an income tax in Washington. Bezos is an anti-tax guy. He knows how bad taxes are for business and for growth. And when we don't have balanced budgets, when we raise massive tax increases on the people of Illinois and still have unbalanced budgets, that's not the right message for Amazon. That's why I'm working so hard to get fiscal responsibility, because I think if we do this, we're going to get Amazon. We should be their first choice.
Well, there's been a lot of demagoguing of public service employees for years, right? I mean, it's been in politics. It's the pensions are too big, and we're paying the teachers too much. We're paying the the bureaucrats too much. We're paying this or that. And generally, it doesn't work its way down to cops and firefighters, but I can imagine a day in which it might. Mm-hmm. And there are people that you're in government now. You were in private business for most of your career, and now you're in government. You understand that government has its place, and that these employees, many of them, have their place, and it is important, whether it is teachers or whether it's cops, firefighters, legislators, people who work in the bureaucracy, people who pave the roads, all of that. And a lot of those people choose public service for the shorter money, knowing they're going to get a pension that's going to pay them in the long run. This isn't like that, is it? It's a conscious decision that a lot of people make, right? And
yep,
so so that's a deal that is made. Now, how do we honor that so that we can keep, so we can try to attract? We don't always do it. I think you know this. We don't always get the best and the brightest, but we try using that system to get the best and the brightest, so you don't just get dead enders and you don't get corruption. You don't get the kinds of things that still happen anyway. What do we do? How do you get good public employees and keep them if you don't offer them an inducement like a good pension?
Yeah, so great question. I think we should pay them more, in my own opinion. And it's really not so much about pay. It's about the flexibility of the work and the work rules and the contracting. That's where these government union contracts fail taxpayers and are unfair. And frankly, sometimes the contracts protect ineffective public employees to the detriment of really effective public employees. It's an unfair system. Even Franklin Roosevelt, who was not exactly a fiscal conservative Republican, right, Franklin Roosevelt was against unlimited government union power. He said it's organized against the people and the taxpayers, and was concerned about it. And frankly, Roe, it's one of my biggest concerns in government in Illinois and across America, when a government union boss can give campaign cash, the taxpayer dollars, basically, to get elect an official, get some of the members of the union to work for that campaign, and then turn around and negotiate a new contract. That's a conflict. It's a conflict of interest. If that happened in business, somebody would go to jail. But in government, we accept it as standard. And I think that's wrong. That's the reason that I got in a lawsuit. I started a lawsuit with AFSCME, because I said, you shouldn't force union dues to be paid. If somebody wants to join the union, terrific, they should join, but they shouldn't be forced to, because everything a government union does is political by its very nature. And we were at the Supreme Court. I was just there a couple of weeks ago, and I think we have a good chance to win that case, and we'll have more flexibility. I want to pay our government employees more in Springfield. I'd love to pay them more, but I want to do it based upon merit and productivity, not just seniority, and will drive better value for taxpayers and a better income and a better quality of life for the state employees. I think it's a win-win.
Governor has been saying it's going to be a costly negative race moving forward. JB certainly addressed you last night. I'm sure you saw his comments about how he's tired of you, you know, attacking him. You have flaws, too. It's not just him. How do you feel about moving forward, you versus JB Pritzker in the race? I think we're going to be hearing a lot from both of you.
Well, you know, Mr. Pritzker has been funding Blagojevich, funding Madigan in the shenanigans of the Senate seat sale that Blagojevich tried to pull off. He's dodged property taxes to ripping the toilets out of his mansion. He's been parking his personal money in the Bahamas and Cayman Islands so he doesn't even have to pay his full income tax. He inherited billions. He's been part of the corrupt machine for years and years. We cannot have that be governor. He'll hand the governorship to Mike Madigan, and he'll enable Mike Madigan to gerrymander our districts again after the 2020 census. And believe me, Mike Madigan will be there for the 2020 redistricting, and Madigan loves that. He's done it for decades. So we can't have Pritzker be governor, period, end of story. Turn out the lights in the state of Illinois if that happens. That's why I'm working hard to unite the Republican Party, but more importantly, unite everyone. Independents, centrists, and Democrats who know that we need to change and bring people together on what we can agree on. Let's stop the gerrymandering. Let's stop trying to tax our way to balanced budgets. Let's grow our economy. Let's get term limits on elected officials so some of this corruption and self-dealing can be eliminated over time. These are the changes that we can make together on a bipartisan basis.
My guess is that the election cycle has started already.
I think it has.
I have that feeling that we have begun. I thought you guys were
buckle up.
I thought you guys were going to go like on a vacation, relax for a couple of weeks.
Would. That's grueling to be on the campaign.
Yeah,
this
no,
long.
It started right here. It's 20 hours later and $20 billion later. It's going to be. It's already on. All right, Governor. Thank you very much. Congratulations on your win last night.
Thanks, Governor.
Well, thanks. It's great, Ro and Anna. Thank you. You know what? This is Illinois' home. Home's worth fighting for. Let's get a victory in November. On to victory.
All right, there we go.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So practicing that on the plane all day. All right. It has started.
Buckle up.
All I can say is I would appreciate if they buy a lot of commercials.
Here.
Personally, yes, here, WGN. All right. I know I speak for Steve.
No.
And I know that I speak for Bill and Wendy and for John and for Justin.
Across the board. Right? Sales team, too, accepting your calls.
Patty and Nick, on behalf of all of us.
I mean, they're going to be playing anyway. Might as well play them here.
Yeah, exactly. Here is right now Judy going to tell us what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Feeling hot in here.
Come on.
Yep.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. What are we doing now?
Let's get it on.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the music they're playing at the Lincoln Park Zoo right now.
Mm-hmm.
As they're trying to get two polar bears to, kind of feel the love, if you know what I mean. This was a great story
in
the Tribune yesterday about the polar bear program at Lincoln Park Zoo. And Dave Bernier is with us. He's general curator of animal care, the animal care department at Lincoln Park. And by the way, one of the great zoos in the world. It's free. It's one of the most picturesque places on earth.
Love it. And great programming.
Amazing.
Kids, it's beyond.
There's not enough to say, not enough good things to say about the work that they do at the Lincoln Park Zoo. But this polar bear exhibit, which is now at the very north end of the zoo, right? Almost up against
Fullerton. They move things around a little bit.
And they've expanded this.
Expanded.
They had it's much better than it was. It used to be just sort of like a deep dive pool, and you look down under the polar bears, and they were like, "Hey, we're down here."
Yeah, it was kind of cool. You could see them underwater and also up on land.
But now they have it. Now you can still see it. You get actually a better view of them underwater, mm-hmm. and they have a big like comfortable space that they're in. But you had Dave. You had unfortunately. We lost one of the polar bears in the fall, a female you brought in a young male to try to do this breeding program. What is this? There's a national network breeding program for polar bears, right?
Yeah, there is. And hi, Ro. Hi, Anna. It's nice to be on the show. Yes, through the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, there's a polar bear species survival plan. And that plan is run by a volunteer. Her name is Dr. Randy Meyerson. She works at Detroit Zoo. And she coordinates all of the planning for the entire North American population of polar bears.
And you, so you have this, so you had the female, she passed away, and it was unexpected, right? She just started to have organ failure.
Yeah, she did. There was, you know, several complications with that, and ultimately, we didn't have any treatments for her. So, and that was very sad. We were very sad to lose her at that time. It was right before we were going to get into the cubbing season. So, and that's the time of year when all the females kind of go into their dens, or not cubbing season, I mean denning season. Mm-hmm. They go into their dens, and we, you know, most places cross their fingers and hope that their female polar bears are pregnant, and which they won't find out until probably sometime in early December.
Well, how does this work? With all the zoos get together, you try to match up polar bears that would be likely to like each other? I mean, what kinds of things do you look at in order to figure out which bears go where?
A lot of it boils down to the genetics of the population. So there's a stud book that lists all the animals that have ever been in the North American population, and that book helps to understand the lineage of each polar bear and how they're related to each other. And then from that information, recommendations for pairings are made so that we're putting together the least related animals in the population.
Right. Like a nicking system like we do in horse racing. It's a sort of the
Yes, exactly.
Kind of
and then a lot of it came out of like cattle breeding and those kinds of things, those kinds of pedigrees that were kept.
Yeah. Okay, so now here's the thing. So we got so you had the young male who arrived last year to breed with now, you know, the older female who passed away. So then he was left by himself. Upset. You had to spend the winter.
I'm
it's bad. Very upset. So, now you brought this female in, and she's from Philadelphia, is that right?
She came from Toledo.
Toledo.
Detroit. I'm sorry, Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. Okay, so the female, then she's street smart. So she comes over. Now, she's young, too, right?
She's 13.
Oh, okay. How long do bears live to be, polar bears?
Females into their early 20s, and I think males a little younger than that.
Okay. And so, and this is, she's sort of in the prime breeding world, like the age here?
Yeah, she is. And so is he. He's 8. So they're both in prime condition right now.
Oh, look at that. Okay. So now the 13-year-old, this is a, you know, the female here. She is, has she had cubs before?
No, she hasn't. She's been introduced to a couple of other males before, but hasn't produced any offspring yet.
But as I read in the Tribune yesterday, and it was a little bit like, you know, like animal dirty talk.
Very detailed.
Yeah. she's been presenting to this young man, right? I don't know.
Yeah, what are you looking for there?
Yeah, what does that mean?
So, you know, initially there's a little bit of posturing by both bears in order to establish kind of who's in charge of what's going to happen here, and it's the female's in charge.
I was going to say, we know she's in charge.
Yeah, so he figured that out pretty quickly, but then what happens is they're in the same spaces, and he's pursuing her. Like, he'll follow her everywhere. He kind of won't leave her alone. He's very obsessed with her. He wants to be near her all the time, but she'll face him or she'll move away from him. But when she's receptive to him, she'll either turn her back or allow him to go behind her, and that's what we call like presenting to him.
Oh,
I tried that at the bar. Doesn't work out.
Yeah, that's right. No, Kev, it's a
you
different.
Show your backside
now.
Hey,
but what's
ladies.
Interesting is they've been muzzle nuzzling, right?
Is that real? Does that happen?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, he wants to be in close contact with her all the time. She has less patience for that, I think. So he'll keep inching closer and closer and ultimately try to nuzzle her, you know, around her neck, around her face, and then sidle alongside of her, and then ultimately behind her. So that's kind of the...
He sounds a little clingy.
Well, he's a little clingy. And it's annoying her at the moment, but she also gets that...
She'll come around.
It's a bit of a dance.
She'll come around.
Yeah, it is a bit... It's fascinating, though, this whole idea of the nuzzle, and she's kind of playing him off a little bit. And then they get into now this this denning season is when? Is it now?
No, the denning season won't start until like late summer.
Okay.
Or in the fall when the females and males, they'll want to separate. The females will look to den up in preparation for giving birth in the winter.
Okay, so now when do they start doing the baby making? Is that before the denning season or is that
Oh yeah.
That's like now?
Right now. Yeah.
And how long is the gestation period for a polar bear?
It ranges, it's kind of complicated. It's like 200 to 265 days, but they have delayed implantation, so they might have a fertilized egg now, but they won't really start, the offspring won't start developing until September or October.
So when would they be born?
Usually in December.
Oh, interesting. Oh, so they're born like in the den and then they emerge.
Correct.
Right.
So they spend another, if they have cubs, the female will spend another 4 to 6 weeks in the den with the cubs until they're old enough to move on their own.
And does the sun trigger them on this? Like the daylight and all that? In terms of where they know where they are in the season?
I think they're very seasonal in general, and I think being in northern climate helps. So a little bit of the sun, a little bit of the weather are definitely cues for them.
Interesting.
It's going to sound wrong, but do you ever do IVF or things like that with polar bears? And then does the relationship still matter because they're going to be in the enclosure together? I mean, is this all done naturally?
Yeah, it's all done naturally. They have to, they have to come to this point on their own. It's complicated. They don't just have like a regular cycle. They actually need.
I've heard that before.
They need to be bred in order to then have an egg available for fertilization.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit harder to do something like AI on a species like that.
Yeah, right. And go to the guy and try to get the sample and see what happens. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be that
tricky guy.
I don't want to be, listen.
Okay, bro, go in the polar bear
enclosure.
Wait, what?
I mean, it's a deal. All right, now, how many polar bears, I don't know if they have all these numbers, but Dave, how many polar bear cubs are born in captivity a year in North America, do you know? Or a rough idea?
Yeah, not very many. So last year, I feel like there were two females that produced cubs in North America, and in this last season, I don't believe there were any.
And the polar bear population around the world, I mean, that's they're on the front lines of climate change, right? Because you've got, especially up in the North Pole, you've got ice flows not coming together like they were. You've got, there's nothing worse than a polar bear stuck on, where they can't get down to where they're able to find the food and the stuff. They're very sad stories about what's going on up there. So this is really an important program to keep the species alive, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it absolutely is. Polar bears, they live in a really harsh climate. They seem incredibly tough and well suited to their environment, but because they're so specific, they're actually very vulnerable to changes in that environment. And we see that with the ice. If the ice doesn't form earlier than like in the normal pattern, if it's forming later, then they don't get to hunt. Especially females don't get to eat really well and build up their stores to go into the denning season. And so they give birth, they're out of condition, and their offspring are smaller when they're born. And then when she gets out and she goes to hunt, the ice is already starting to recede, and then her food supply is even less. So it's extremely stressful on them to be in that environment where they can't get to their normal food source.
So now I did read in the story, and this is like the last.
You seem
line
very
of the
impressed
story
by the story. Oh
my
read
god!
Every detail.
I
of
did.
Story.
Well, it's fascinating because I happen to love this exhibit. I go to Lincoln Park Zoo all the time.
Lincoln
I walk
Zoo
through there, and this exhibit. And I was so sad about that the female polar bear that died earlier this year. And it is just because you go and you get to see how magnificent.
I know. They're such ambassadors for their species, and they make kids understand and care about them because you don't otherwise just reading about them. You get to see them and understand
right
that these are worthy of preserving and doing what we can to keep them around for a while.
And the mating ritual, I just think the mating ritual is so similar to how humans are.
Oh, really?
I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, if you have to extrapolate a little bit, but it kind of works. Uh-huh. And I was really touched by this, but what you guys at the zoo, you're trying to figure out if these guys are actually doing it. Now, how would you know that? And what that's I don't want to get
they're watching.
Well, but you
listening
weren't sure in the story. They were like, we think they might have, but we're not sure.
Right. So I mean, they're big animals, and we have them on camera 24 hours a day. We have people observing them and watching their behavior during the day, but it can be subtle. Like, if he might be in the right position, but you're not sure that what actually needs to happen is happening.
Yeah.
You're never going to get that close.
She might not even know it's happening.
Right. Sometimes it's hard to tell.
I've been accused of that. Now, do they sleep next to each other? Where do they sleep?
Yeah, so they love sleeping outside, and I'm taking a look at them on camera right now. They're both outside sleeping, but or actually she's sleeping, and I think he is laying down staring at her. So.
Oh, I know what he's thinking,
Nobody likes to wake up to someone staring
breathing
at them.
Heavily.
Give her some space, man.
What are you dreaming about?
Oh, yeah, that is definitely the worst.
He needs some coaching.
Yeah. He needs to play a little hard to get. That's what the girls like.
He's 8 years old. He's right in
frisky.
He's in the prime of life, and he's just, you know, this. He's like, listen, you're beautiful. I love you. You're new to the environment here. This is all great. Now, what happens? Now, does the cub get to stay at Lincoln Park Zoo, or does the cub just go now part of this expansion? What happens here if they're lucky enough?
If we're lucky enough to have cubs, they would stay with Tolini for a year, you know, maybe two tops, and then the SSP would make a recommendation for them to move to another institution and probably put into a breeding situation.
Does she stay here, or these guys move around? Do we get to keep these, or do we? What happens here with the boy and the girl now?
Yeah, the SSP is sensitive to not moving them around too much, so the hope is that they would stay here for a few years, produce cubs, and then if that either happened or didn't happen, then based on how the population looks, they might move one or the other bear out and bring another bear in.
What if we decide he's creepy? He's just not.
Or she decides he's creepy.
Right. He's just not. He's just kind
it's
of
not working.
But does that way it works? And I mean, I'm sure that this list is looking at people who are successful, like it would in all breeding, would look at who's successful at being able to do this.
Yeah, right. The institutions, and then there's also a little bit of personality that goes into some of these planning. So it's not just the sheer numbers, but you know, compatibility matters. So we do give some behavioral reports about the animals so that they have a chance to pair up animals that they feel like they would have the best chance of reproducing.
I really hope this works out, man. I hope it works out for them. I like them both. I think they're a nice couple. I get that she's a little creeped out by him, but he's younger. He's a little more, you know, impetuous. And I just think that if the two of them could just kind of work out that difference right there, and she could understand that this is really about love. This isn't just about, you know, him being creepy.
But it is an arranged marriage, and you just never know. Yeah, you never know how it's going to go.
That is true.
It only takes one time. Come on, guys.
Well,
that's true.
Yeah, that
looking for outcomes here.
Actually, I don't know. Maybe the
practice does make perfect is what he's probably thinking.
But maybe I don't know. It takes more than once, probably, right?
It doesn't have to. No, it can just take one time.
All right. Okay. Well, I know. I was told that in 10th grade too. But I'm just saying that it's like. But is it?
Does it take right away?
Yeah.
Typically.
Or is there like a lot of this that goes on and then eventually, you know, they den and then they come out with cubs?
Well, for these like induced ovulators, so the ones that end up needing to breed in order to ovulate, they end up breeding more frequently than just one time.
Okay.
And I'm sure that they do that just in order to like hedge their bets.
Yeah. You
know, the more opportunities they have to breed, then the better chances they are of getting pregnant.
Yeah, that's what I always said, yeah. All right. All right, Dave, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Congratulations on this. I hope this works out. And again, the Lincoln Park Zoo, one of the best institutions in the world for this kind of thing.
No question.
And, you know, congratulations.
Yeah, thank
on
you
that
very
as well.
Much.
Thank you. Dave Bernier from Lincoln Park. All right. Well, I think we got a lot of information out of that.
Felt like
didn't
a weird sixth grade sex education class.
Mm-hmm.
Induced ovulation.
Violetta, what's coming up in the WGN traffic? What's happening on the roads, actually? You don't have to tell us what's coming up. What's actually happening? Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. I dare you to find a radio show in America that can interview the sitting governor of a major state and then
turn around
and talk about polar bear sex for half an hour.
We do.
I thought it was pretty classy polar bear sex.
And then before the governor was here, we talked about a monkey escaping a research lab and
going to a strip club.
That once may have been owned by John Fox.
We did do that.
That wasn't as classy as the polar bear.
Come on! They are on the lookout in Miami for this for an escaped vervet monkey
from a
research lab that it was last seen at a strip club.
Get John Fox's brother on the case. He's good at trapping and killing monkeys.
I wonder if Gidget ever had a girlfriend.
Doubtful.
Oh, come on!
Poor Gidget wasn't allowed to. Seemed like
it's tough. I think that's why the monkeys, that's why when you get a monkey in captivity, you know, like chimpanzees, as I remember Michael Jackson had a chimpanzee. Mm-hmm. When the male chimpanzees, you know, they get to that age, they're like, hey, where are the chiquitas, huh? Huh?
What's going on around here?
And I'm not talking banana here.
Can't we have one of those programs like they do for polar bears at Lincoln Park Zoo?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I got needs.
The Lincoln Park Zoo is like the itchiest lunch of, you know, establishments, just helping out animals get together. And
seriously. And look, it's working.
Monkeys.
Well, we'll
see
if it's working. Well, we just learned about the polar bears. We're hoping that they can, you know.
Start denning.
Denning, right. Well, we need them to start getting it on and then denning.
Oh, right. That comes
so they
first.
Don't encourage them at all because.
Well, how do you encourage a polar bear?
You show them like polar bear porn?
Well, I don't know. I feel like I saw a cow get violated once.
This is Serbia?
What? Yeah. I woke up to just these cries from this cow down the block.
Dear God.
I'm like, what are you doing to that thing?
Who was doing what to it?
They brought a bull in from a neighboring village.
Like,
don't ask.
And you just encourage them to mount each other.
Do we need... Kevin, no more follow-up questions. All right.
You don't know what that sound is like. It's
all right. I have had experience in this.
Yeah. What do you mean you've with horses?
It's like the silencing of the lambs, you wake up to the sound of cows.
I mean, I don't know. In nature, I have no idea how this goes, how we ever ended up with cows to begin with, or horses to begin with. But in the thoroughbred industry, you have to have what they call live cover. Which means it's not like artificial insemination. You have to have a boy, you know, daddy horse and a mommy horse, and you got.
And they don't have to necessarily love each other.
Well, here's the thing with the studs, and the studs get paid a lot of money.
That's why they're called studs.
Yeah, but why can't it be done any other way, like in the petri dish?
Because that's not how it's done.
Well, don't they have like a fake, you know,
like a turkey baster?
Yeah,
they
got the fluffer.
Right. Oh, that's a whole nother. Is the fluffer a human?
No, thank God, no.
Okay.
Because I don't think the horse is really going to react to it the same way. No. Yeah. All right. So what happens here? Here's what happens. The girl horse, the broodmare. Mm-hmm. Now they put her on a trailer, and they take her to the stud farm.
Okay.
They have to drive her to the stud farm.
So she goes to his digs.
Right. She's coming over. They take her off the trailer and they put her in the breeding shed. And then there's and in the breeding shed there's a wall, and then on the other side of the wall is the fluffer.
Uh-huh. I've been taking my breeding shed.
And the fluffer I don't know why the fluffer knows how to do this, but the fluffer makes all kinds of noise and stuff.
Okay.
And gets her all kind of like
excited.
Yeah,
they like have a fluffer like in the porn industry to keep everybody between shots.
Yeah. So this is what's happening here. There's a fluffer, and the fluffer's making whatever it does.
Well, if he's such a stud, why do they need a fluffer?
Because here's why, and this is the part of the story you might want to walk out of the room for. So, the fluffer's got that. And so all of a sudden she's like interested in the fluffer. And then all of a sudden, you know, the stud who you're paying maybe $50,000 to do this.
Holy moly.
Up to $100,000, $120,000 in some cases.
Pull the old switcheroo.
Then all of a sudden the guys who are with the grooms who are with the female with the broodmare, they kind of, you know, they hold her by the reins and they pick up one front leg.
What?
So that she can't kick.
Oh.
The fluffer's like the best wingman of all time.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get him going. And then I don't know.
I don't think the fluffer gets paid enough, I'll be honest with you. And they pick up the one leg, and then all of a sudden the stud comes in, and it's over wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's over fairly quickly, but she does not like it. And you hear her make a noise like, wait, what the?
Yeah.
I like
that. Yeah. That's what this was like.
Yeah.
But this was not as classy, I don't think, as an experience as these breeding houses. And there was no the shed pain, what'd you call it?
Stud farms and the breeding shed.
It's kind of like the Red Room in 50 Shades, sounds like.
Sort of, except everybody seemed to sign up for that in this case.
Right. That was more consensual.
Right.
Wasn't it?
And it's over in like 20 seconds, and then boom, they turn her around, and they take her back on the trailer, and she goes. And then he walks out, has a cigarette, and then comes back, and he does it. And the studs do it, over 100 times a season, and they're doing it sometimes, 7, 10, 12 times a day.
It's like high-fiving the other studs. Dude, she loved that.
I like the way they do it at Lincoln Park Zoo with the polar bears better.
Yeah, they let them date a little bit, see if they like each other.
Right.
She's allowed to say no.
They love on each other, and she's allowed nuzzling. To say no.
Yeah, she's allowed to say no, right? Not in the thoroughbred industry. Or apparently in the bovine industry in Serbia.
Yeah, well.
Or anywhere. Although, like, in the bovine industry here, that's all artificial.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they really understand how it works, so they're just like, bring that.
Well, they
bring
probably
that bull over here.
Yeah, they couldn't have afforded the turkey baster. They'd have to go into town to get the turkey baster, and then they have to get, and then all of a sudden, they got to get Boris to go over there and get the sample out of the bull. I'm sure that doesn't go very well. Boris, listen, what we need to do here is you need to go to bull.
He's all hungover from the night before,
and you.
Like, how hard could it be?
I'm going to give you pail.
Mm-hmm.
And gloves.
He's up for it, Boris.
And you are going to have to make sure you get a sample from bull. Good luck.
Oh, gosh.
Sometimes it helps if you dress like a pretty cow, if you do this.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's what happened.
That's very similar.
Violetta wakes up in the middle of the night.
No, this was just in broad daylight. I'm like, what is going on?
Maybe that's a sound of happiness.
Yeah, of love.
It could have been, but I don't think she had a fluffer.
Let's hear that again.
Yeah, very similar.
Is that what it was like?
Yeah.
Well, the fluffer sound. It's interesting because the fluffer sound is a weird, like the fluffer in the horse world,
mm-hmm.
and it's not particularly sexy, but she likes it.
But how do they get the fluffer to be like, hey, so this is what
I don't
we
know.
Need you to do?
This is the great mystery to me. I don't, and I have paid for this service. And
not,
the horse
not
horse.
For yourself. Not
the,
for
let
yourself.
Me, the horse, not for myself, for the horse.
Okay. Just want to clarify
for
that.
For our
this
mayor.
This is getting so weird.
You have not lived until you've had Ron Majors explain this to you. I should actually get him on the phone and have him explain it better than I did.
Get the fluffer.
Wait, does the stud get a fluffer too?
He didn't need it.
Oh.
He walks right in, sees what he sees the target, okay. And it's like, it's over.
I just sat down. What I missed?
Oh, gosh. Please don't backtrack this conversation. Do not rewind.
But the weird part is you got to hold up the leg of the broodmare because you don't want her, like, hurting the stud because the stud's worth $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, think about this. 100,000, the biggest studs in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
$100,000 and 120 covers a year, a season.
Wow.
So multiply $100,000 times 100.
It's a good life.
I got to get myself a stud.
Yeah. That's like Stormy Daniels money right there. So it's like, it's big dough.
Yeah, it is.
It's big dough.
Think of those poor white rhinos that have survived, the two females, and they're going to be trying to figure out a way to get them pregnant too,
because the last male is dead.
I know,
right?
And to think that
sounds like it's going to be complicated.
I don't know. Now, all right. Now, would you rather? Now, okay, Boris, I'm going to give you two options here. Either you get the sample.
I don't want to know
from the bull over there, or you got to get the sample from the white rhino before he dies.
He's in.
Here's a bucket. Here's some gloves. Here's some Astroglide.
I just feel
good
like,
luck.
I just feel like he would take the easy way out, and who knows what he's giving you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Did not. I have it in here in bucket. I don't know if it works.
Oh, God.
Good luck. Oh, God. All right.
I feel
again,
like
Bruce Rauner was on the program. That podcast is up at WGNRadio.com.
Yeah. I think the fluffer does all the work, and then they get the payoff.
I don't know what the fluffer does. And the fluffer is not a thoroughbred. It's like a pony. It's like a... It's like the guy that you don't want your daughter to come home with, right? But she always brings home.
Got tattoos,
right? It's like the guy. It's like the dirty
boy.
Yeah,
but he's the one actually schmoozing her,
right?
Right. She's attracted to him.
He doesn't get
right. But he's not good. But he's
that's
not.
How it always
he's
works.
But he's not good for your future.
That's how it
he's not good for your future.
Right.
Right. The future
what a, what
of the
a bummer.
Yeah.
He won't produce good babies.
No. You need the production. You need the $100,000 stud who's got the track record.
You need the Ivy League boyfriend with a good family, mm-hmm. drives a nice car. I
right.
get it.
That's it.
All right.
That's it. Okay.
And no love involved.
Right.
Don't expect to be getting any love, girl.
Yeah, well, that's it.
You're gonna be taken care of. That's all you need to know.
Right.
Hit and run.
Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly. What?
A hit and gallop.
Do I have to go not take bucket to Boris?
Please, Boris.
Boris, you can't ride the cow to drop the sample off.
What time do I go to get horse now? All right. Martyr?
How am I supposed to do my job now?
Good luck.
Again, I dare you to find another radio show in America who's having this conversation.
I'm trying to keep it together here. Yeah. Primary stats continue to roll in from yesterday's elections across the state, and Loyola gearing up for a party. Those stories along with sports, Ooh, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour.
I'll tell you, that Boris is a lot happier when he shows up at the nightclub after his job is done during the day. You cannot believe what I had to do today. All right, Violetta, take it away. Oh, really?
Gosh, please. Sounds like it's going well.
Oh, man.
Or not.
You know who's really upset about this conversation we're having is Orion Samuelson.
Because he knows a lot about
it. Yeah, he knows all about this stuff. Yes. And by the way, we were talking about the horse. This all started because we talked about this situation at Lincoln Park Zoo where they're trying to get these polar bears pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then it somehow ended up with Violetta having a bad experience with a cow in Serbia. And then I was discussing how they get the horses pregnant in Kentucky, the thoroughbreds. And I was talking about the fluffer.
Mm-hmm.
And the groomsmen, the grooms who hold down the female and hold up her leg, we failed to mention the hardest job of all of them, the stuffer.
What?
Wow. That's my buddy's nickname.
Yep.
Wait, what?
We've really got Justin Coffin's going to join us at